Building on Foundations for Eternal Life. Chapter 17, Spirit, Soul, Body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, W.E.B. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. End of verse. Scripture shows that people are comprised of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. New Testament Greek, pneuma, psuche, and soma. Some consider spirit and soul to be synonyms for the non-physical part of people. However, I find that a careful reading of Scripture shows spirit and soul to be distinct from each other, as 1 Thessalonians 5:23 above indicates. Another reference that shows spirit and soul to be distinct is in Hebrews, Hebrews 4:12 W.E.B., For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. End of verse. Here we see clearly that soul and spirit can be divided, and that the word of God is able to divide them. Scripture has many references to spirit and soul, but Scripture does not say much directly about their differences or how they relate to each other and to salvation. To add to the difficulty of this subject, many English translations often translate the Greek word for soul, psuche, as life. Also, Scripture is not always clear whether the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, refers to our own spirit, usually translated spirit with a lowercase s, or the Holy Spirit, usually translated spirit with an uppercase s. Different translations are often different in this regard. As a result of these translation difficulties, the distinctions between spirit and soul tend to be obscured some. As a further result, many believers know little about this subject, and there are many diverse viewpoints about it. I present to you my understanding for your prayerful consideration. The three-part nature of man is evident at creation. Genesis 2:7 W.E.B., Yahweh, God, formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. End of verse. Adam's body was made from the dust of the ground, his spirit correlates with the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Scripture and experience appear to me to support this basic understanding. Our body gives us world consciousness, our soul gives us self-consciousness, and our spirit gives us God consciousness. Our soul interacts with the physical world through our physical body. Our soul interacts with the spiritual world through our spirit. Generally speaking, our soul is positioned between our spirit and our body, and is the non-physical part of us that we are clearly conscious of. Its functions are often understood to include our will, our intellect or mind, and our emotions. Most people are less conscious of their spirit. Its functions are often understood to include conscience, intuition, and communion with God. The functions of our physical body are readily apparent and include such things as vision, taste, touch, smell, hearing, legs for walking, and hands for various tasks. Our soul relates directly with our body in a way that is readily apparent to us. However, our soul's relationship with our spirit is not so clear. When Adam and Eve first sinned in Genesis 3, this impacted their spirits, which suffered a form of death, resulting in mankind becoming dead spiritually. Genesis 2:6-17, W.E.B. Yahweh God commanded the man, saying, You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. End of verses. Adam and Eve didn't immediately die a physical death when they ate the forbidden fruit, though physical death was an eventual consequence. Rather, they appear to have immediately suffered a type of spiritual death. All of us inherited that spiritual death from them. As Paul writes in Romans 5:12, W.E.B., Therefore, as sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death passed to all men, because all sinned. Ephesians 2:1-3, ESV, And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. End of verses. Prior to being born again, we were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, and we were dominated by the passions of our flesh. New birth through faith in Christ brings new life to our spirits, restoring to us the spiritual life that Adam and Eve had before they sinned. As Paul continued in Ephesians 2:4-5 ESV, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." End of verses. The understanding that we each have a spirit that is distinct from our soul plays an important part in understanding salvation and the new life we have in Christ. The new born-again life that God gives us at the point of salvation primarily has to do with God's Holy Spirit coming and dwelling within us, with our spirit, and giving new life to our own spirit. Our soul and body may initially be only indirectly affected by this new life in our spirit. The new life that our spirit receives needs to be embraced by our soul to allow the new life in our spirit to work its way out into our soul, and then our soul is able to pass benefits of this new life on to our body. After receiving new life in Christ, there is still a process of growing in Christ to become spiritually mature. This growth does not happen automatically. It is a process that requires our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. It is possible to resist the new life within us and continue to live largely unchanged. This is apparently what happened in Corinth. The new believers there failed to mature. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 WEB. "Brothers, I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual, but as to fleshly, as to babies in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for you weren't yet ready. Indeed, not even now are you ready, for you are still fleshly." End of verses. Next, we'll explore this failure to mature and what it means to still be fleshly. For further reflection, do you agree that spirit and soul are distinctly different parts of us? Why or why not?